So what an awesome night it is. Any day that the Lord makes is awesome. And being able to share tonight, when they asked me, it was pretty cool because it was like I got this sermon because I was actually starting to fall asleep one day, and I got awoken by Ruth coming into the room. And I had it on a Christian station, but the guy only talked like 5, maybe not even 2 minutes, the rest of what he was talking about. And the thing that stuck to me was the word he said, a word he said. So that's what I'm going to talk about. And tonight it's going to be about redemption. So Heavenly Father, we just open up this house unto you, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord, that it would not be my words, but your words, Lord God. I ask your Holy Spirit for guidance, that, Lord, you would indwell in me and let this be a message for all of us. I give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. So redemption. This past summer, I'm into lowrider bikes and lowrider cars, and we were approached by one of the car clubs locally here, and it's called Redemption Car Club. So I thought that was a pretty unique name, and so we started talking about some of the different things that's required to be in this car club. They have monthly meetings. You have to pay dues. You have to be pretty much on fire for God in order to be even considered in this car club. And so that was one of the things, is that you have to memorize Bible verses every month. So it's kind of like reminds me of my childhood when I used to be little and they would challenge us and youth group or in, you know, little children's church, memorize these. And here we are, grown men, and have to memorize and actually stand up in front of them and tell them what you memorized. So I was considering joining this car club, and the word redemption, you know, I looked it up a couple times. And that night, like I said, I was pretty much going to sleep. I've been working 13-hour days quite often. And that night, I was so exhausted. Like, I was listening to what he had started talking about, and I got through about him saying, you know, we're going to talk about redemption, and I fell asleep. But I caught the last 2 minutes of what he said. And so I was like, man, there got to be more than just that last 2 minutes of what he said. I missed the whole thing, and I couldn't go back. I didn't remember the guy's name. It was a youth pastor. So I'm going to talk about what I think redemption is. And I'm going to tell 3 stories tonight. The first one is about Joseph. He was the youngest of 12. And how many of you know the story of the coat of many colors? You know, if you don't, I really encourage you to go read it. I learned a lot through this story. I've read it about, I think today made my 28th time within the last 4 days reading this story. And every time I read it, I was getting something else out of it. And it was pretty amazing to me that, because I could relate to the story. His brothers were very jealous of him. They didn't like the idea of him having all of his dad's favor. You know, his brothers were, they actually plotted against him to kill him. And it reminded me of my own brothers and sisters. They didn't care for me too much when they found out I wasn't their real brother. And so there was things that I could relate to. And as I was looking at it, when his dad made him the coat of many colors, he wore it in such a way, he was so proud to wear that coat. And by wearing that coat, every time he wore it, it got his brothers mad. And the brothers came up with this idea that, you know what, we should just kill him. And, you know, dad won't like that. You know, then we can all be equal. And one of the brothers said, no, let's not. And so he kind of saved his life by telling the other brothers, don't kill him. But they ended up throwing him into a pit, stripping him of his clothes. And they took the coat, and So I actually brought some props tonight. And this is what I would think the coat of many colors looked like. After they had gotten it and they dipped it in blood's lamb, the lamb of blood of lambs, and they took it back to the father and said, because after they sold their brother into slavery, you know, here's the robe. The story in Genesis 37, 31 through 35. And they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, dipped the robe in the blood. They took the robe back to their father and said, we found this, examine it and see, rather it's your son's robe. He recognized it. He's the one that made it and gave it to him. And he said, some furious animals must have devoured him. Joseph was surely torn apart to pieces. And Jacob tore his clothes, which is his father, put a sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many, many days. All of his sons and his daughters tried to comfort him, and he refused. No, he said, no, I will continue to mourn until the day I join my son in the grave. And his father wept. The Bible said he wept bitterly until he had no more tears. You know, today I was reminded of loss and pain. I came straight from a funeral earlier. In fact, I didn't know if I was going to make it on time. And to see the heart and the hurt that this family was going through for the loss. The loss was a good friend of mine that was a worldly friend. And I heard that he was really, really sick about 3 weeks ago. So I went to see him. I didn't tell nobody I was going to go. I just showed up. And at first I was really scared because he was one of my main connects, my drug connects when I was in the world. So there was a lot of past there. And I was afraid of putting myself in a situation to where maybe they would plot against me, or maybe they would do something against me. But clearly I heard the voice of God say, give him peace. So I went and talked to him, and I sat by his bedside, and I shared with him what I've been going through for the last 5 years of my life. I shared the ups and downs. I shared the struggles, but mostly I shared the love of God. Well, I got the phone call that Friday. Actually, I didn't get the phone call. I found out through Facebook. His daughter ended up posting on there that he had passed away that night. And I prayed, and I didn't know if he ever accepted the Lord into his life, because I wanted to give him an opportunity, but I never did because of all the family that was there. And today at the service, the pastor went up and said that apparently within minutes of me leaving, he arrived. And he says, what I remember is seeing a gold car with a big Raider sticker driving off. And he says, surely this can't be his house because he's like the biggest Bronco fan. And so me and the pastor got to talk after how we used to get along. And he went and shared with him the gospel, and he told him, would you like to accept Jesus into your heart? And he did that day. So even though it wasn't by me, it was by somebody that still was obedient from God. And it wasn't that I was being disobedient, it was just that I didn't have an opportunity with the guys that were there. They were in and out checking him. They were like, he was on hospice already. It was really hard to get a word in edgewise. And it reminds me of the sorrow, the pain that, you know, Jacob would go through for his son, thinking he was dead, thinking that he would never see him again. But he had, before this, told his brothers, and this even got him more mad when he told him about his dream, because he said that you guys will bow before me one day. And they were like, even his dad says, surely not I, me and your mom will bow before you one day? Really? Like, I can imagine him. Like, okay, whatever, keep dreaming, you know. But it's so amazing how God works through situations and through things that happen. The other children tried to comfort him, and they couldn't. When tragedy happens, you didn't need to remember you've got other kids, and not just focus on the one or the tragedy that it brought. You got to remember the other children. And he said he wanted to continue to mourn until the day that he met his son at the grave. You know, that's deep, deep sorrow. While he had another son, Dan, and Dan went to the house, and I couldn't imagine him going in and just seeing his dad there with the coat, just holding that coat, just knowing that that was where his flesh, his son was, being a part of it, smelling it and knowing his scent. That became a symbol of what his love was for him. But it also became a symbol of loss, pain, sorrow. So his son Dan decided, well, I'm going to take you to my house. And he goes and starts opening the windows. He starts getting his dad ready. And he ends up taking his dad to his house. They made lamb chops and just had a good dinner, and he was able to get his mind off the things that his dad was focused on. So with the little grandchildren running around, how many of you know little kids can bring you joy no matter what you're going through? So with those kids, you know, he started getting out of that depression. He started getting out of that sorrow and out of that way of thinking, of only thinking about his son. You know, sometimes we do that. We go through life. There's things that come our way. And we get into a place of great depression. We get in a place of great pain. You know, as he started to come out of that, you know, he's having a good time. And he never thought about the what had happened to his son. But there came a time to where he had to go home. And I imagine him at the door, and he opens the door, and the first thing he sees is the robe. So he goes and grabs that robe and holds it and carries it, and what happens? The depression came back. The sorrow came back, and all the things. And that's how Satan works. Satan wants to keep us, you know, the coat was a symbol of loss, pain, and sorrow. The devil wants to use that and to leave us in that guilt, depression, condemnation, and make us feel like we're not worthy. And sometimes we hold on to the things of the past, or we have things that remind us of certain things that we've done in the past. You know, this friend of mine ended up giving me a Raider candle on my last birthday. And that's the last thing I have to remember him by. But there was a lot of things in my past that he had given me that I've gotten rid of. And one of the things that I got rid of was with Randy. We had a good old time breaking some stuff with a hammer one night. And one of the things was, because of our past, I had a bunch of pipes that I used to smoke in. And we destroyed them. And so, you know, these things can symbolize different things in our life. But, you know, that's how the enemy works, and he wants to hang up the pain in your life and keep you focused on it. He wants you to stay wounded so that you could stay in the Great Depression, missing the blessings of God, missing the good things that God has for us. And sometimes just, you know, not giving in to the fullness of God. So I'm going to talk about another story, and this one has a bird involved in it. Oh, I actually, sorry, put the tape on the wrong side. And it's a rooster. And How many of you know where I'm going with this already? And it was amazing to me that the service today, the pastor was talking, and I said, how appropriate now that Easter's coming up. And we need to be careful in the words that we say when we say, I would never. Because sometimes those words will come back, and we're going to end up eating those words. And this is what Peter did. They were sitting there, and Jesus said something strange and pointed at a rooster. And Jesus predicted Peter's denial. And Jesus told him, Matthew 26, verse 31, then Jesus told him, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Peter replied, even if all falls away on account of you, I will never. Truly I tell you, Jesus, this night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if to death, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all of the disciples said the same. Sorry, my notes doubled up on me. Now Peter was sitting in the courtyard in the... Oh, okay, that's where it ends. He told him that he was going to deny him. And so now we go to where he's sitting. They came, they took Jesus, and we're going to be seeing this story played out in a play, and you're going to see them, you know, sitting there in the courtyard, and he actually wanted to go be with Jesus to find out what was going to happen to him. But he still loved him. He still cared for him. That was his, you know, he served Jesus. But while he was sitting there for a little while, those standing there went up to him and asked him, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he came down, cursed, and he swore at them, I don't know the man. Immediately, the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words spoken before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He went outside and wept bitterly. But that was not the end of the story. Three separate times he denied Christ that night. And how many times does Satan use the rooster to remind us when we didn't do something we said? You know, I sat here in service a couple weeks ago, and I was just sobbing because I had told Ruth, and I shared this at men's group that night, that I made a commitment to my pastor and I didn't keep it. I made a commitment that I would be there no matter what, and I didn't keep it. And God convicted me and said, now is the time, now is the place, for just the time is this. And I don't know why, but, you know, sometimes we walk through life, sometimes we go through things, and, you know, a lot of times I've had my past brought up to me. Working in the field that I do, doing the work that I do. Three times this week, 14 times last week. You know, I always have people saying, are you the right person for that job? Are you sure you should be doing that? You're not educated. You don't have the degrees. You know. And there's sometimes that, You can imagine Peter in the morning just sitting there, you know, knowing that what came to pass by what his words were. He's just walking down the street and he hears the... Sorry, my rooster don't want to crow. God loves smartphones. He, every time he hears that sound, every time he walks by, anytime he's thinking during the day and he hears that, what would that sound do? Remind him of his past. Remind him of what he did. Well, there came a time where Jesus was in the grave and they came to Peter and told him that he had risen. So he's running to find out what's happening. He's running to see, is it true? Is it true that this grave is no longer full? Is it true that he really raised? I see him looking into that tomb, and there's the rooster saying, you loved him, you cared for him, but you denied him. You weren't strong. You allowed that sin to take hold of your life. You allowed these things to come before God. And I'm guilty of it. I stand in front of you not as a perfect man, but as a forgiven man. Because every time the Satan came to me, said, you're not going to do it. He spoke to me and said, I'm going to open a nonprofit. It wasn't going to happen. How are you going to get the funding? How are you going to be able to work with kids when you're a known gang member? Every time Satan came to me with those lies and with those crows, I had to look to Jesus and say, you know what? I know your plan. And your plan's not that I would look to these things. Well, there came a time that he moved past these things. And it said that he was asked to go to the upper room. So he went, and the day of Pentecost came. So the story picks up in Acts. Acts chapter 2. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in the upper room. And suddenly a wind... came and filled it. And there was sitting, and they saw the tongues of fire sitting above their head, resting on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. It says that Simon Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and started to speak in other tongues. That was the day of his redemption. That was the day that he no longer had to look at the rooster and say, these are the things that are going to hold me back. That was the day that he could look over. You know, Satan sometimes uses the things in our life to try to keep us from doing what he's asked us to do. We all have sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory. But the truth is we don't need to hold on to these robes. We don't need to listen to the rooster when he comes into our ear and says, you're not worthy to go preach. You're not worthy to go up there and give a testimony. Who are you to go and help this person? We don't need to listen to those things, because the Bible says to put on the full garment of praise. and he will wash us from the crimson blood to white as snow. And that is true redemption. Deliverance from the sins of bondage, who gives us redemption from the wickedness to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do his will. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14. through 18. As obedient children, do not conform to the devil's desires you have when you were living in ignorance, but just as you he who called you is holy, be holy, for all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here. If you know that it was not for perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed for the empty ways of the life handed down to you from your ancestors. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Peace with God, and he is the head of the body and the church. He has given the firstborn among the dead so that everything he might have For God was pleased to all his fullness that dwells in him, and though through him to reconcile to himself all things, rather things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through blood shed on the cross. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor your God with your bodies. One of the things that this family knew me from was I was the tattoo artist for that entire family. We count it today, just in his immediate family, well, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters. There was 18 people in their family that I had tattooed. And out of the 18, there was over 482 tattoos that I did with their family. So all day, all through after the service, they were coming up. Remember this? Remember this one? You remember this? And they all had a story. And they asked me, how many more tattoos have you gotten? And I told them, none. I said, I actually quit. And I quit doing all that stuff that I used to do in the world. Because like this verse says, I'm no longer my own. I'm bought with the price. And I need to act accordingly. And so, you know, a lot of them were like not understanding a lot of stuff I was telling them today, because I was sharing a lot of scriptures with them. And, you know, it's amazing. The word redeemed means to buy out. The term was used specifically in reference to the purchase of slaves' freedom. The application of this term to Christ's death on the cross is quite telling. If we are redeemed, then our prior condition was one of slavery. We were slave to the sin. We were slave to the things that we held on to. And even as we're walking through our Christian walk, even though there's going to be times that we fail as men, we got to give up the symbolism that reminds us of our past. We need to quit listening to the rooster. We got to quit listening to the things that Satan comes in and says. God forgives us for the things that we openly confess. And as we openly confess our sins, that's where we find redemption. The benefits of redemption is eternal life, Revelations 5, 9 through 10. Forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1 through 7. I'm not reading all these, but it will be hopefully recorded. And if you want copies, I'll give you copies of these notes. Freedom from the laws, curses, Galatians 3:13. Adoption into God's family, Galatians 4:5. And deliverance from the sins, the bondage of sin, Titus 2:14 and 1 Peter 1:14 through 18. Peace with God, Galatians 1:18 through 20, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. To be redeemed then is to be forgiven, holy, justified, free, and reconciled. By His grace, we are redeemed. By His grace, we receive forgiveness for what we fall short in. And too many times, men are quick to point fingers when somebody falls instead of lending a hand to help them back up, instead of keeping their word and knowing that there's something different out there. And like I said, I'm guilty of this. I failed in my word. But I'm here now because I want to fulfill that promise. This ministry has been a blessing in my life. And many of you have heard me say over and over again, not only in our marriage, but where God's taking us. We're able to go into the prisons and minister the gospel. I'm able to go into the streets and share the love of Jesus every day in my job and get paid for it. These are the things that God tells me I can do in Him. But there's always that stupid rooster standing on my porch, standing at the end of the block. When God said He would open the doors, I never thought it would be possible to be inside a prison. When I pulled my record a couple weeks ago, I shared this with a couple people. I was amazed. I found out how I got my job. I found out how I got approved to do the Aurora's Citizen Police Academy. I found out how the doors are opening in the prison. I found some old records in my house. The rooster. I had 15 arrests, 13 of them violent arrests, half of them felonies. But the day I decided to listen to the Holy Spirit and give my life, He redeemed me. Not only did He redeem me in spirit, when I put my record the other day, CBI, NCIC, which is the national, where the police do their background checks, CBI is the Criminal Bureau of Investigation. There was 4 arrest records shown and no convictions. So I went back to Aurora and I asked the officers, how often Does it happen that maybe they made a mistake? Oh, man, maybe he thought I was trying to say they made a mistake, or like right away. No, we don't make mistakes. We do the paperwork. We follow up with the paper trail. We do this. I'm just sitting there like, okay, cool. I went to a district attorney and asked them, you know, can I ask you guys, you know, I've had a record sealed once before, only one of them when I was a juvenile, though. How often is it that it just kind of vanishes? Like, I don't know how else to explain it. And they were like, no, it don't happen. You know, we have a 99%, and then we have a backup computer, and then we have two backup systems to that main computer, and everything sent to a cloud, and the cloud holds it. And I was like, wow. So as we're going through all this stuff with the prison, I was like, man, Lord, this is going to be rough. These tests are not easy. The things that I'm going through are not, like, Ruth took her, 3 weeks or more to get them done. Like, it was not easy steps. And all the way through, I kept hearing the rooster. Is it really worth it? Are you really going to make an impact in there? Are they going to think of you, you know, you're going to be uppity up people considered, you know, they're going to consider you this and that. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing it for people. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for the Savior to further the kingdom. You know, in this ministry, I know we're going through some rebuilding phases now. We're going through some things that are going to get rough. And right now, more than ever, does our pastors need us. I have not talked to them about this. I have not said a word to them. But I've been praying for them every day for strength, because this ministry came under attack for a reason. They were doing something. And Satan is afraid of the things that are happening in this church. God is about to do a work like, man, but you know what? It takes us to be ready. It takes us not to go back to the past and pick up the things that he's broke from us. It's like me going back to the jail. I was there the other day. And going into the cell and saying, you know what? I like it here. Give me my green bologna and my juice. That's what we do every time we pick up the things that are not edifying to the Spirit of God. And with this redemption, I thought about, man, how many times, how many things that a lot of the guys at the funeral today was bringing up a lot of my past. Oh, I remember when. Oh, I remember when you did this crazy thing. Or I remember when you set up these parties. And every time they would say, remember when? I'd say, but yeah, now? Let me tell you now. Because I serve a true and living God. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the touch of God, by the Holy Spirit. Those things are in the past, their former life. They're no longer my chains that are going to hold me. They're no longer the things that are going to allow me or prevent me from doing the things that God's called me to do. I thought about one of the classes I was in called Celebrate Recovery. And all this week I've had some experiences with people. I had a young lady that I was able to share the gospel with, and when I did, she didn't want to accept it. She says, if I have to do these things in order to be good, I'd rather go to hell. And I said, these things, like, you know how simple it is? Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me, for I'm a sinner. It's that simple. It ain't like you got to go and, you know, if we would all be on a merit system, I'm sorry, but none of us will make it. There's times that I'm sitting in the East Colfax and guys taunt me or say something, and I'm like, Lord, just, I'm walking and I'm saying, Lord, bless me, help me today. But there's always that one or second or that one time that I'm thinking, man, let me just throw some at him. And then I got to ask, okay, Lord, forgive me, because that's not what you called me here to do. But it gets rough. And us in everyday life go through things. We all have struggles. You turn on a computer nowadays, man, I get on Facebook once in a while to promote something, to talk. We do a Bible group from the Philippines. I have four guys that I talk to from the Philippines. But every time I turn on my computer, so much other junk pops up. So much other things come into it. Every day as I'm passing work, there's a strip club that I go past every day. If any of you have been to East Colfax, I usually get off. Lately, it's been pretty late at night. And anything you could think of that Satan has out there is on East Colfax. And every day I go through there just thinking, well, how easy would it be to slip right back into things? Every day I ask for God's forgiveness when I think that I'm becoming weak. But that's where us as a family need to stay together. God has chosen all of us for a reason. There was a shifting and a weeding out. There was a time where sometimes when baking a cake, you got to shift the flour. Well, that's what I feel like's happening here. And we are redeemed. We need to walk in a holiness. We need to walk like we are God's property. We got to walk with a boldness and with our heads up and knowing that God has forgiven us. And when God said it was done, it was done. No longer looking to our coats, no longer looking to what the crow's going to say, but always remembering that with God, all things are possible. It's been awesome to see a small family now because I love this rule. Couple weeks, I'm going to be at a mega church that has 2,000 people. And the reason I'm going there is because of our program in Aurora, and they want to know about our program. And the pastor was like, you know what? The program wouldn't be working if they didn't have a God person in there. I want you to come and share your testimony. So I was like, I'm all for it. Then he told me, we got three services. Each of them hold about 1,200 to 1,400. My chin dropped, and I was like, are you serious? Like, wow. So my family's invited, and I told them, yeah, I'll go. But with us, man, small number, I've loved this church ever since I got here because it's so family-oriented, and that's the way we need to be able to call on our brothers, to be able to share with what we're going through, be there for each other. And unfortunately, I couldn't be at men's group Friday, and I just missed them. When I left the hospital, they got there. But I don't know what happened on 36, but that thing was packed that night. It was like standing still. We were getting ready to get on the highway, and I looked, and there's no cars moving at all from where I was on Broadway. So I'm thinking from Broadway all the way to Broomfield, by the time I get there, it's going to be over. I knew Jason was in the hospital, so I said, I'm going to go up and visit my brother because I need to be there for him. And as I was going up there, you know, I was just praying, Lord, it's so awesome to be able to see what God's doing in our church. I had listened to Matt's CD a couple days ago. I got it. And I was like, wow, this guy's on fire. I got to hear you minister. And it's awesome to see that the men are finally standing up and doing the things in the church because we are the pillars. We are the ones that are going to be the movers and the shakers. And for too long, the women have been doing our jobs. And I know that, you know, this word redemption to me tonight, the main thing that I want all of us to get out of this is that we are redeemed. So let's believe it and let's walk in it. Let's strengthen one another. And when those things, the enemy's not done, he's still not happy because, you know, The rebuilding is going to take time. The rebuilding, you know, things don't happen overnight. They didn't destroy a building and rebuild it in one day. When they destroy a building, they got to clean it out. They got to clean the area. They got to make sure everything that we just had a house right next to us destroyed. And they had to go through the ground and shift the ground because it had asbestos, and they were afraid, like they had to go through so many layers, get all the ground redone, and probably by summer they'll finally start to rebuild something on it. And I'm sitting there watching this whole process as they're destroying this building. Took one hammer, like this crane thing, come in and just swooped it once, and the whole thing crumbled. That's how Satan is. He'll come in and destroy things, but when God rebuilds it, he allows things sometimes to be destroyed in our lives. He has for me. But when he rebuilds, man, it's so much better. It's so much cleaner. It's just refreshing. And that's what we're moving into, is a refreshing of the Holy Spirit, a refreshing of new things happening. Ministries opening up, you know, the guys are going up to the down to the homeless and feeding them and doing that outreach. You know, there's nursing homes that are opened up to us. There's jails opened up. You know, I know God's going to use this ministry way beyond these four walls. And we're in the starting fresh foundation. It's like a relife, a rebirth, you know, and I praise God for that, because God is doing a great thing here in Broomfield. We're in Broomfield, right? I had to think about Lions because I've had a long day. But there was a song that I asked him to play, and I just want to encourage you, if you feel unworthy, if you feel like, you know, there's things in your life that just keep trying to get you chained back to them, break those things. And if it's actual physical things, like with me, it was my music, it was my pipes, it was my things that we had to break and get rid of. I got a whole lot of hammers, man. Yeah, I'm okay to breaking things, because that's what God was showing me when we broke those things. Sometimes you got to break those things to get new things. And as I broke every one of those things, as I was breaking them, me and Randy was having fun. Like we both got cut even. It was awesome. But in those things, new things grew. In those things, as we broke them, new things brought life. You know, it's time to cut down the old things and raise up a new thing happening in this church. And with that, I'm going to close, and I just open up the altars to you guys if you just want to pray. I was praying earlier, and usually I'm willing to pray for anybody, and tonight I want you guys just to open up to God and let him fill you and have utterance of your words to you. He has words here tonight for you guys, but are you willing to listen to him? It doesn't take a man, because man's going to fail. Pastors fail all the time because they always get looked to as, I need him. You know, the priests, you think about, they just did a new pope. You can imagine one of us going there and saying, I want to see him. I would like to see him right now because I got to talk to him. They ain't going to let us. The church that I came from, in order to get to sit with the pastor, it took usually 2 to 3 months. He's just a man. I started realizing a long time ago, we need to stop depending on men and start depending on him. So if you want a word from him tonight, trust me, there's words there. I know, because I was ready to jump out of my seat earlier. I was ready to run down the street and just scream and shout, and because God is doing a work, man. I know you guys, opening up to God, you will feel it. Opening up to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and give you a word. If you really desire something, you got to ask for it. How can a need be met if it's never known to man what the need is? How could something be filled if it was never asked? If I know somebody needs gas, I'll go and help them. But if they never say nothing, just sit in their car and looking around and hoping somebody comes and never say nothing, they never call AAA, how is the help going to come? So it's up to us as individuals. If you want to move past from being redeemed and filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to seek him out. So I thank you for listening. Thank you for loving me, for being my family. And I just open up the altars now and thank you guys so much.